Well, thanks so much for your company on the Twilight Zone. Adam Papalia with you through until 7 o'clock tonight. And as we do each and every Saturday after 6 o'clock is our Twilight feature. And I'm very pleased to say that our Twilight feature today is one of the absolute stars of the AFLW. She's had to do it the hard way with a bit of injury over the journey to get there. But the impact that she's had on the competition over the last couple of seasons has been absolutely outstanding. Her nickname is Turbo, and she joins us on the line now in Kiara Bowers. Kiara, great to have a chat.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
You were training this morning. How was it? It's been pretty hot over the last few days.
Yeah, I think it's 38 today, so it was a bit of a lighter session, so it was a good one. But we, got a run in the leg, and it was good. It's going to relax for the rest of the day.
Now, having a look at your Instagram, you love training. You love putting in the hard work, so I'm sure you embrace the hot weather.
Yeah, I'd much rather the heat than the rain and the wind. We've had a bit of wind lately, so give me the heat any day.
the pre-season, obviously, it's a long time between seasons, especially last year with the way things finished and ended up a little bit early. You must be absolutely raring to go.
Yeah, we all are. I mean, it's good that we're actually down now and we can all hang out together and have a kick of the footy. So we're ready to go. We're fit. We're feeling good and, keen to get the season started.
Any concerns that the season's not going to go ahead as planned with everything that's happening around the border situation?
Oh, look, we're pretty positive. We know the AFL are going to work and pretty much do whatever they can to get us going. So we're just making sure when it's going to happen, we're going to be ready and hit round one running.
Where do you get all your energy from? Your nickname Turbo, you're a tackling machine when you're out there on the field. Where do you get all this energy from?
I don't know. Obviously, I love what I do. I love to run around and have a kick of the footy with the girls, and I feel pretty privileged to be out there. So I'm going to make sure I've got a smile on my face every time I'm doing it.
I hear a whisper that you do like an energy drink and a coffee or two to keep you going.
Yeah, don't tell the nutritionist that. They probably wouldn't be happy with my diet, but I balance it out with a lot of salad and chicken.
You hate water as well, is that right?
I like water if it's got some cordial in it.
But again, no, I'll tell the nutritionist.
Exactly, make sure this doesn't get passed on.
That obviously keeps you going. But you've so fit and athletic, and you just seem to have boundless energy. Is that the way that you've always been through your life?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy training and I enjoy the hard work. Obviously, I'm a carpenter, so throughout the day I've got to drink a lot of water, and at the end of the day being absolutely exhausted and then coming to training, a little bit of sugar with an energy drink might just get me over the line a little bit, so that will be my excuse.
How tough is that to balance? Obviously, working as a carpenter during the day, it's physical work, it's taxing work, and then you rock up and have to train as well.
Yeah, look, you can obviously see it that way, and it being pretty tough, and it definitely is. It has its days where I'm come to Trent and I'm like, mate, I'm exhausted. But like I said, I see it as such a privilege that we get to come down here and train and be in these facilities with all the other girls. So I come down and it's not like a job. It's kind of like a good fun, and so I enjoy it. So it makes it a lot easier.
What made you get into the carpentry?
I was doing a sales rep job for a pretty long time. I was there for like 6 years, and I had a lot of time sitting in the car, and I was like, I just want to do something, with my hands and build stuff. And, obviously that's exactly the job. So I kind of just fell into it after looking into it and absolutely fell in love with it. And now, they can't get rid of me.
Obviously, there's not, I guess it's a bit different these days, but there's not a lot of females on work sites and that sort of thing. How did you find that dynamic when you first started?
Yeah, look, I'm actually the only one in our yard that is a female. So it's good I get my own toilet key and no one can go in there. But my workplace, Fleetwood, is absolutely incredible. They, I probably get treated better than anyone else because I'm female. So I find that quite funny. But look, they're all great. They talk to me every Monday, how'd the game go? And they give me some pointers and everything like that. But they treat me just as good, if not better. So I'm lucky.
Are the guys like chatting footy and give you a bit of banter as well?
Yeah, if I've missed a tackle or I've missed a goal, they make sure I know about it. And but they also, they come to me with probably more news and stuff. Did you hear this? And I'm like, no, I didn't, but thank you. So it's good. They're very awesome down there.
So working as a carpenter, like, what sort of hours are you putting in there? What does your average day look like?
At the moment, we've been absolutely chockers. So I've been doing about 6 till 4 lately. And then I spend about half an hour driving from work till training and then straight into training at 5. So it's a bit tough lately, but you die down when the season starts. And I'll do about 6 till 2 and have a couple of hours to sit in the car and maybe have a eyes shut for a bit and then kick into training.
I was going to say that head must hit the pillow pretty well at the end of the night after a full day's work and then a hard training session as well.
Yeah, I don't have trouble as soon as I lay down, I'm out. So the partner gets a bit annoyed at that because she can't fall asleep as easy. But yeah, as soon as I'm down, I'm out and don't wake till my alarm goes off.
So season 2021, I think everyone's looking forward to seeing what Fremantle can do after last year. How heartbreaking was it to go through the season undefeated, get right towards the finals, looking so good, and then to have everything shut down and walk away without a premiership being awarded?
Yeah, look, obviously, it's been said before, it without saying it in a nasty way, it sucked, absolutely. But, you know, we take that as such an accomplishment to go through the season without a loss, you know. And we look back at that and that's what we think about. We weren't beaten last season and we want to go into this season going, you know, we want that same stats. And, yeah, and hopefully that happens.
How's the group shaping up, you think?
And we're looking fit. We're looking happy. We're kind of itching to get out there, to be honest. It's hard versing each other every weekend, playing scratch matches. We kind of want to go out there and instead of bumping each other, bump some other people. But no, we're looking good. I'm a bit worried about the girls when I go out there and verse them. So I can't imagine what the other girls on other teams are going to be worried about them.
You're a tackling machine, as we talked about it. Are you restricted at the moment with the COVID training protocols? You're not allowed to tackle people as much or get around the group and really get in there and make them hurt?
Well, at the start of the season, it was a right rule in full, you know, everyone's allowed to tackle everyone. At the moment, we're in lines, so midfields are getting absolutely demolished tackling each other, so we're all a bit battered and bruised because we all go in so hard. But, you know, we're working with the mids and then forwards with forwards and backs with backs. So it's been fine. We got some tough nuts to tackle each other.
Which of the other teams? You think it'll be the Kangaroos again that are going to prove the toughest competition?
Yeah, I think they'll be pretty, you know, they're looking good. They've got some great players in Emma King and Garner. But to be honest, I think Carlton are going to be good. Collingwood, I think, are going to be good. I think there's going to be a lot of teams. I don't think it's going to be some standouts. I think there's going to be good all over the competition.
Let's take it back even further. When did you first fall in love with footy?
I fell in love with it in schoolgirls. There was a team that was starting up and I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. And sort of fell in love with it there. I didn't want to step out of it. And then my team ended up, we weren't able to get enough girls. And then, so I was like, oh, I'll look outside of school and then found a waffle club and yeah, didn't stop from there, just kept playing.
So what age do you think you started?
I started in year 10, I believe it was. So what's that? That's 16, 15, 16.
Yeah. But were you always kicking the footy when you were younger? What was the family dynamic like? Were they big footy fans?
My mum and dad aren't at all, but my big brother is, he was a good footballer. He was a great footballer, if you ask him. He played for Swan Districts and South Freo, and I used to go down as a young girl and watch my big brother and look up to him, and don't tell him, but he was the one that I wanted to play like. So I used to kick out the front with him all the time. I used to try and hit the garbage bin and then also hit the electricity line across the road, and the neighbours used to always come out and get annoyed when we hit it because it would stop their TV.
So was it kicking it in the garbage bin or just trying to hit it?
No, just trying to hit it from different spots and around a big tree that we used to have out the front, so there used to be different angles, and yeah, it was good fun. Usually I'd nearly beat him most of the time, but he'd always get me right at the end.
So how much older is he?
He's 5 years older than me.
Right, so you're clearly looking up to him, and he's had a massive impact, it would seem, on you getting that first love of footy.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I think about footy at a young age, I think of just going down and watching him at South Freo Oval and going down, eating the chips and cheering him on. And so that's the stuff that I used to love when I was young.
So when you were at a younger age, obviously Auskick and that sort of thing now for girls coming through, what footy were you able to play or nothing? Or were you doing another sport? What was your interest?
Yeah, so I didn't even know about it. I used to do little athletics and obviously I enjoy running. So that's what I was doing when I was growing up, doing that, keeping fit and then watching. I'd do that on a Saturday morning, then watch my brother on the Saturday arvos.
So were you a good athlete?
I'd like to say so, but I don't know. I can't really. I don't know. You don't want to talk yourself up. I guess I was all right.
I reckon you're probably being modest, and you're.
I'm a bit short. I wasn't very good at high jump.
Well, you and me both are in that category, unfortunately. At least you're athletic, though. I'm clearly not at all. But your brother. So you're playing there. You go to play schoolgirls. So when did you first realise that there was actually a schoolgirls competition that you could go and do? And was it love as soon as you crossed that white line?
Yeah, it was, to be honest. It's kind of crazy to think about like that. But, yeah, like we went down and one of our really good teachers was like, yeah, come try this out. I think you'd be good at it. And obviously I'd kicked the footy at home, so I was like, oh, I can kick. I should be all right. And chucked in the middle straight away, kicked a couple of goals. And I was like, I might play this. This is quite fun. And then there's not many sports that you can say that you can absolutely go out there and just, you know, demolish another player. Like you... And it's quite enjoyable. I find it enjoyable. I think most of the other girls down here do as well. You know, you can take girls on and show your skills off, and you come off battered and bruised, but you're feeling accomplished. So that's what I like about it.
So you're playing schoolgirls, and then as you said, you went down to a waffle club. So was there a pathway there or not really? I mean, I've heard other stories of girls coming through that would play juniors in the boys' teams and then wouldn't have anywhere to go after that. Whereas your paths are slightly different, I guess.
I was 15 and I went jump straight into the league team because there wasn't obviously a younger team. There was a reserves team, but it had obviously still older girls in there. It was still like a league comp. So I was probably the youngest girl playing in you know, with the 30-year-olds running around. So yeah, it was straight into the league squad for me.
How do you look back on it now in terms of what's, I guess, transpired in the last 5, 6, 7 years and how much there's been a growth in the game, and now there is actually a pathway all the way from Auskick right through for girls these days?
Oh, it's incredible. And you look at the girls that do come through now, and their skills are just, it's impeccable. I'm worried about the girls coming up that I'm going to have to verse, because they've just done it for so long that it's just so ingrained. They can kick on their left, you know, like it's their right. Doesn't even matter. And it just shows that if you do have a pathway, that the girls will be just incredible.
I completely agree with you there. I mean, in the last couple of seasons, even someone like Roxy Rue coming in, she just looks so athletic and she can jump over everyone and good skills on both feet. And Sabrina Duffy, of course, a teammate of yours too, in what they are actually able to do. Where would you like to see it get to?
Oh, they're incredible, aren't they? They're quite scary. I never want to verse them. Look, I just want to keep seeing it grow, just keep growing. Those young girls coming through, like, you know, putting us old girls out, you know, in a couple of years, and them just coming through and just absolutely demolishing and making those highlights just stand out. Because we've seen Roxy last year. Her highlights are incredible. And, yeah, I just want to keep saying that, you know, keep moving forward.
Unfortunately, you have suffered a number of injuries throughout your career, an ACL straight after you were signed as the marquee at Fremantle, but you'd had a couple previous to that as well.
Yes, I've had three on the right knee.
Three on the right knee. That's
yes.
Insane.
Very lucky, aren't I?
Well, so how old were you when the first one happened?
It was when I was playing in that first team, and it was, I think I was about 18. And then I'd done that, got the surgery, and then come back, and it was the first game back, and I did it again. So I did two consecutively, and then I decided I didn't want to come back. So I had I think it was about 2 years off, and then I was obviously missed it too much. The love was calling me back and got sucked in and played, and I had about 5 years in between. So some pretty successful 5 years. And then, yeah, got named as the marquee for Freo, very lucky. And then unfortunately went down the following weekend in one of our finals games.
How was that time during your life, going from the high of being picked up as a marquee for Fremantle to then just a couple of weeks later suffering another knee injury, which you obviously knew so much about already?
Yeah, obviously the instant thoughts is you're going to absolutely miss out on what is going to be an incredible first year of women's football. But then I'm quite a positive person, so it was, all right, this has hit you. You're going to have to deal with it and then make sure you get back on the horse, because these girls are going to have 1 year on you, and you want to come back and not just be a fill-in player. I wanted to come back and be a marquee player that I was signed up for. So it was kind of like, you know, take the week, be upset, and then, yeah, get back on the horse.
a great way to look at it, given you'd already been through a couple before. Was there anything that the doctors, I guess, or the surgeons were telling you as to why you'd suffered three of these and been unlucky with them? I know that there's a high percentage, obviously, of women being susceptible to ACLs, but was there anything from you that they told you as to why it had happened multiple times?
Nah, nothing. I'm just a believer. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Doesn't matter what, you know, what sort of person you are. You can be someone with lax ligaments and, you know, you're fine. But I just think it's going to happen. You're going to happen no matter what you do. So just unfortunate. And, yeah, we'll just deal with it.
Were you able to keep that positive mindset the whole way through? Obviously, it would have been tough watching on from the sidelines.
I guess people would like me to say yes, but no, definitely not. There's definitely down times and times where I was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather just go back to running because you can't injure yourself as much. But every time you get down and you speak to the girls and they make you happy and then you watch them play and their excitement and you want to be out there. So you take the time to be sad and eat a lot more chocolate than you probably should. And then, the next day you'd be like, you can't sit on the couch for the rest of your life, so you might as well just go do it and get in the gym.
From what I've heard about you and seen you, you would have turned that into a motivation, I guess, to work even harder to get back?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite a small girl, so I said if I'm not going to be able to run and change direction and play footy, then I'll try and, you know, do what I can do. And so I wanted to put some weight on in that season. So I made sure that I'd try and get a bit stronger so I'm not going to get pushed off the ball. So just the little goals that you can give yourself, it kind of takes away from the thought of you're not out there. So that was kind of my perspective. Put some muscle on and then when you come back, you'll be stronger and it will help you not get pushed off the ball, hopefully.
Well, you certainly have got no problems with that these days. Normally the knee injuries, I guess, are sort of a 12-month injury, but yours lingered into a second season. You missed that second year as well. What were the complications behind that and why was it taking so long for you to get back?
Yeah, so I ended up, I was going really well and then I ended up just like being a bit stiff and couldn't really get the full extension on my legs, on my knee, and then so we went in and had a look and they said you've got like a little, I don't know what they call it, it's like a little polyp. So they said, look, you can probably play, it's not going to be too harmful, but it will make the risk of doing it again a little bit higher, otherwise we can go in and take it out and you'll probably might get back for close to the end of the season. And obviously not wanting to injure the knee again, I was like, yeah, just go in, take it out. After crying a little bit. So we went in and we took it out and then just the comeback was just too close. And then we got to, you know, two games left and they just said, look, it's not worth risking you. We want to, you know, wait. We know that you're a long-term player and we want to get you back to full time. So we just, sat off the last two games and then just made sure the next season we were fit and ready to go.
Was that the way you were thinking about it as well, or was that the advice you were given to not try and push it for those last couple of games?
If you know me very well, you know that I'd be pushing. I'm not very good at sitting on the sidelines, but I knew in the back of my mind it was the best thing. Saying it out loud yourself is not the hardest thing, is not the easiest thing to do. So I take the advice of the docs. They're the people that know what's happening and they got the best, you know, interest in us. So I take it. I may have been a bit grumpy at the time, but no, they're incredible, the doctors here.
How tough's being in the rehab group or doing that much rehab for a couple of years?
How tough is it? It's probably the hardest thing you can do being an athlete, I believe. It's you have people around you. You've got so many people. The girls get around you. The physios get around you. The doctors do. But you're still kind of doing it yourself. And, you know, they say that you're a part of it, but you don't feel a part of it because you're not getting out there and helping the girls on game day. So you just got to have little goals. You just got to make sure that when you're doing your workouts and your sessions, you're doing it the full amount that you can do it as hard as you can. So when you do get out there, it's all worth it.
921 days, I think I read it was, from when you were signed up as the marquee to when you finally got to play for Freo. What was it like to pull on that jumper and run out there for the first time?
It's just a couple of numbers there, isn't it? It felt a bit surreal, to be honest. I'm quite determined in the fact that if I'm playing a game, I'm quite onto it. I'm ready to play. I'm not thinking about anything like that. It was more after the game when the siren went and we'd won, and I'd just dropped to the ground and absolutely bawled my eyes out. I was like, wow, that was 100% worth it, all those bad days and the tears that fell and the hard work and the time, and thankful to all the physios and the docs. And it was, yeah, it hit me a lot of bricks then. So that was the time where it actually hit.
Who was your biggest supporters through that time and around the club as well that helped you get through that period?
Oh, look, everyone, to be honest. We've got such a great coaching staff here. We've got two mums in Cotters and Webby here that if you go up to them, you feel like you just hug them and just cry, and they just listen to you, and they have that warm feel. So I'd go up to them and I'd just chat to them, and if I was having a bad day, they would know, and they would just come up and say, give us a hug, Turbo, you know. And so those girls at the club are incredible. The doctors and physio staff are just beyond. I can't even explain it. There's no words that you could actually go. They go above and beyond anything you need. They would do anything. And then outside, obviously, my partner, Adele, is, I owe her a lot of massages. Let's just say that.
Where did you two meet?
We actually met down at football about 10 years ago now, so a long time ago.
Obviously, she's been a great supporter of yours for such a long time.
Yeah, she's been incredible. She played it for fun, so she enjoyed it, just going down and having a kick. Not as serious as me, but we met down there, and ever since then, I mean, it's 10 years later and she hasn't gotten rid of me yet, thank God. But I'm very lucky. She supports me incredibly with this. Obviously, we've got a kid now, so being able to still, you know, work full time and then come down here and spend, you know, probably more time with the girls at the club than I do with her and Nate is incredible. I couldn't do it without her.
Those best and fairest that you've won, after all the injuries that we've spoken about that you've had through your career, the success that you've been able to have on the field since you've come back, is that a bit of a dream come true?
I find it a bit lucky, to be honest. I don't know how I've got them with the amount of amazing girls we play with. I guess I must be, you know, the coaches must not like me a little bit more.
Well, you're being a bit humble, I think, because your performances over the last couple of seasons have been outstanding. I mean, you really came back, we were speaking about the rehab before, but you came back looking like you hadn't missed any footy at all.
Well, that's a good sign. I like to make sure if I'm going out there that I'm giving 100%. There's no, and I think the coaches probably hate this about me, I'm not going to go out there and give you 50%. Like if I've had too much loading and they say, Turbo, just take it easy, they know that's not going to happen. They have to take me out of the drill. So that's the same with the games. If I'm going out there and I'm going to bump for you, I'm going to put my whole body in, and that's the way that I like to play the game, and I probably always will.
Who gave you the nickname Turbo?
I actually have no idea. It just came one time in playing footy as a young girl, and I guess I've got a bit of a tank on me, as in I can run for longer. So at the end of a session, I'm running a bit faster than everyone else. So I think that's where it came from.
Well, you do well, obviously, in the time trials and that sort of thing. Is it true that Gabby O'Sullivan was trying to bet against you, putting up some cash for someone to try and beat you in the 2K?
Gabby always tries to bet against me, I think. But she hasn't won yet, so we'll be right.
Is she someone that you really battle with at training? Who are the others that you're really competitive with?
Look, this season has been Hayley Miller. She is looking incredible, fit, strong. So I've been battling with her, making her offensive run a little bit harder by running in front of her every 2 seconds. But look, yeah, Hayley Miller is a midfielder. Jasmine Stewart's looking great this year. She's looking fit. Her left foot's damaging, and then obviously the two Antonios I like to have some banter with and make sure that they don't get out too easy.
Are they back training with the group yet? Because they obviously they've been in quarantine a little bit.
Yeah, I think they've got 3 or 4 more days, and then they'll be come back and make sure that we all know about it.
Has it been strange not having them there?
It has been, especially in the weight sessions, just where we all, because obviously the midfielders are all together, and them two come in and try and lift more than everyone else and be a little bit louder. And so we miss them for that fact that they're really good fun, and they're always loud and getting the group up and about.
We mentioned your tackling prowess before. The numbers are quite insane, really, averaging 14 a game. I had 18 against West Coast in the derby. I actually count that as 19 because you tackled the vegan activist as well. What was going through your mind when you saw that person running on the field?
Oh, look, to be honest, I saw it at the last moment. Like, I was like, why are we sitting around? Like, why are we standing around waiting? And then I saw it, and she was just running at us. And I was like, oh, mate, we're winning here. You need to get off the field so we can continue to win. So she didn't step me too well. Like, she didn't try to get away too fast. So I just wanted her off so we can continue this game because it was quite fun.
Well, I don't think many people can get away from you when you're trying to tackle them anyway. And you seem pretty fired up for that game. Obviously, it was the first derby. You were the best on ground. Was that rivalry there, or that was there extra motivation there for you to perform well in that game?
Oh, look, every game we want to get a win. I guess there was a little bit extra just because we had so many girls who were playing for Freo, and then they decided to switch over. We wanted to make sure that, you know, they knew that they'd left the wrong club, that we were going to be, you know, a winning club. And if you want to leave, then you're going to, you know, have to versus, and it's not going to be fun. And, you know, I guess that starts a good rivalry with the Eagles.
Are you talking about Dana Hooker there mainly in terms of the rivalry?
Nah, all of them. I was just luckily, you know, Hooker's an incredible player, so I was lucky enough to be playing on her. And, you know, I like the battle. She's a great player. I look forward to more.
You're obviously looking forward to another derby, because that rivalry, I guess it's just ingrained between West Coast and Fremantle, but it was there from the instant or right from the first bounce in the first AFLW derby.
Yeah, I mean, the boys started off. They're always really good games to watch. And, yeah, I guess we all know each other playing in the Waffle. So everyone's got banter with everyone, and it just makes out for a good game. And I think it's always going to be a good game. Let's just hope we always get on the winning side of it.
Do you have much interaction with the Freo men's team?
Yeah, we see them all, like, obviously not at the moment because everything's COVID and stuff like that, but they're always leaving as we're coming in, so we're always, you know, saying hi and see each other in the gym in the off-season, and, you know, some of them join us for our sessions with Springer, the boxing coach. So, no, they're all lovely boys.
Do you like the boxing sessions with Springer? I hear he can really put you through your paces.
Yeah, we did it. We did a couple off the Christmas break. I think I lost about 5 kilos in one just with the sweat that he made us get in his boxing gym. But he's the nicest guy you've ever met, and I would do sessions with him over anyone because he's just so lovely.
Now, you mentioned your family before. How much has your life changed in the last, 6 or 8 months with the arrival of baby Nate?
Yes, it's nearly 7 months now, the little dude. It's a bit different, but it's honestly so incredible. Like, I thought I loved Del before, but I love her a hell of a lot more now, and I'm so thankful for it. Like, he's a good little happy dude, and I loved coming home, but I'm almost speeding home now just to get home to him.
Has it changed your mindset when it comes to footy as well?
I'm a little bit more excited for the wins now because I'm excited to have a photo with him and you know, bring him into the song, hopefully, if COVID doesn't stop us. But I'm excited for him to realise what his mum's doing and how we're changing women in sport and, you know, more like the future side of it.
What example are you trying to set there? You mentioned, you know, about women in sport and particularly the way you guys are pioneering, I guess, this new league and the AFLW. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I said it at a smoking ceremony last year, but as a young girl, if we wanted to play footy, we had to look up to boys, and then we had to strive to be like, you know, Nat Fyfe or David Mundy. And I'm excited for him to go, I want to be like Kiara Bowers or Hayley Miller, you know, a young boy looking up to a female wanting to be like them, you know, because they're a strong player, not just because they're female or male, you know. And that's incredible to think about. And young girls looking up to girls, and young girls not having to just have one person to look up to, I think it's incredible.
How much have you noticed that, not with Nate, of course, but with other young kids around, with the emergence of the league over the last couple of years?
Oh, I think there's more kids at our games than adults, and wanting signatures at the end, and just so happy to get a hat and a high five or a knuckles from one of our players. You know, and I would spend all day out there if we were allowed to, because I just want them to realise that they, when they're older, they can do this, and they've got all the power to be able to do that. And I think that's more incredible what we're building for the future than what we're actually doing now.
It seems like the shift's come pretty quickly in terms of the acceptance, but I guess the excitement around it as well.
Yeah, for sure. What the AFL have done to get this AFL like W competition up and grown so much just over, like, this is the fifth year, I think is just outstanding. And the AFLPA pushing for everything that we can get. And I feel very lucky that I'm a very privileged to be able to be at the start of it. And the young girls coming through, I can't wait to see what they get in, you know, just 5 years, how incredible it's going to look, you know, in just five.
What would you, where would you like to see it get to? Can you picture a world where it could be a full-time profession, so you're not having to juggle work and you can focus solely on footy?
I think definitely eventually we would love that. I mean, I obviously know how hard it is to go through work all day in the heat and then come to training. I want the young girls to not have to struggle with that, and they can put absolutely everything they can all throughout the day into their football and not have to worry about having to juggle and all that sort of stuff. So eventually that would be incredible to be able to do that, and young girls be able to do that.
And you're trying to juggle it with a six-month-old at home as well. That must make it extra tiring.
Hence the energy drinks.
what sort of a parent are you?
Pardon?
What sort of a parent are you?
I like to say that I'm the fun one. I'm the cool mum. Del would disagree. She wants to try and be that one. But no, I come home and rile him up, and he's ready for bed, and I'm trying to make him laugh. So I'm probably the annoying one to her.
Well, great stuff, Kiara. So much. Thanks so much for your time on the Twilight Zone this evening. I really, really appreciate you giving up some time and having a chat. The season's not too far away, obviously. So the excitement levels must be building as you get set to get ready for it all.
Yes, the banter's starting already. We're ready to get out there and stop tackling each other and tackle some other people and show what we've been working for and what we're working towards.
Well, good luck with it. Fingers crossed, I think, from everyone that things can get away smoothly, whichever way the season does unfold with the way things are going around the country. But we wish you all the best, and thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.